Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
First, the three government leaders are meeting this morning, and this revised living with COVID plan is expected to be announced by the Taoiseach later. Now, the roadmap, which was last night approved by the COVID-19 Cabinet Subcommittee, has already been the subject of wide discussion and speculation. And to take a closer look at all of this, I'm joined on the line by political editor with the Irish Examiner, Daniel McConnell. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Claire.
So, Daniel, well, let's deal with the confusion this morning around the school reopening. Minister Donnelly, very late last night into this morning, clarified his comments when he said that the school reopening might not happen. Do you know what happened there?
Yeah, so he was on your show last night, and obviously there was a lot of, I suppose, confusion and consternation at his comments that essentially the process, as we had understood it with the unions, essentially had been concluded, and that essentially it was a done deal in relation to the schools going back on a phased basis from next Monday. He sort of, you know, as I said, put the cat amongst the pigeons, saying that the process was not completed, and ultimately, you know, there was a lot of confusion and kind of surprise within government. Now, his spokesperson, speaking to me in the last few minutes, has given me a statement, basically said that the minister misspoke on the television with you last night. He was advised before going on air that union officials were going back to their executives with the proposals, and he understood this, that the process was not complete. Obviously, he had to then clarify that very soon after coming off air with you on television. Okay. And it's very clear that the unions are essentially, the deal is essentially done, and that, the government will be announcing the reopening of schools next Monday on a phased basis, subject to that cabinet approval this afternoon.
Just on that, we had a statement from the INTO to the programme, and they say over the past week, we've seen wildly inaccurate and sometimes contradictory statements from government. While consultation with the education partners continued last week, this media speculation was not helpful. And they go on to say, last night, Minister Donnelly was not in possession of the facts, and it was appropriate he later clarified his comments. We'll have a full statement on the government's proposal once Cabinet have adopted it. But I suppose parents listening to this, all of us want to know what exactly is happening. So, Danny, do we revert back to what we were being told yesterday, that schools between junior and second class and Leaving Cert will be going ahead next week?
That's my understanding, Claire, and that's the very clear impression we were being given yesterday evening. And, earlier in the evening, Josepha Madigan, the junior education minister, set out a very clear timeline. Now, she did obviously caveat her comments saying that they're still subject to cabinet approval, but the roadmap was set out very clearly that, as you say, junior, senior infants, first and second class will go back next Monday, as will Leaving Certs. We know that other students will go back on the 15th of March. The remaining of primary schools and some other secondary schools will go back, and then others, the remaining school children will wait until April the 12th, is my understanding, before they go back. Mm-hmm. So I think the clarification is welcome as of now, but I suppose given the week the government has had in relation to its communications, it is the last thing they needed, and particularly when it's clear that public buy-in and compliance to restrictions and travel limits, etc., are clearly under strain. The last thing he needed to be doing was sowing further doubt and further confusion, but unfortunately that's what happened last night.
The sequence as well seems to have changed. Maybe you can just clear this up for me, because what we'd expected to happen was that Cabinet was meeting in full this morning, and then we would have the announcement later, possibly at 6 o'clock, from the Taoiseach. Now, the three party leaders are meeting this morning, and Cabinet has been pushed out to this afternoon. Is that right?
Yeah. Again, now, I was teasing this out because the minute I heard that last night, I was saying, listen, there's obviously a problem. There's difficulties. But government sources speaking to me were making it clear, listen, it's because there's so many different factors, they're literally just trying to dot I's and cross the T's. However, there clearly is a signal that, they've been working on this plan for several weeks, and clearly they're not at a stage to sign off, or they weren't at a stage to sign off it fully last night. So I do think there's probably that meeting of the three leaders, which normally happens on the Monday night. I was told that they were going to talk again this morning. They're clearly going to sign off on the finer details before it being presented to Cabinet. But I think there is a sense that, Micheál Martin's commentary later on is as important, and the manner in which he delivers that statement is as important as the message itself, because I think confidence in the government has been shaken. And I do think there's a sense within government that the events of December, the spike in the numbers, and then I suppose the need to go back into a very strict lockdown after Christmas has shaken the government's confidence in itself in order to stamp its authority over the virus. And matters certainly aren't helped when you see our next door neighbour, you know, roaring ahead, both in terms of the vaccine rollout and obviously you had Boris Johnson coming out yesterday, setting very clear deadlines as to when restrictions will be lifted. We're nowhere near that space here in Ireland. And very clearly it's been stated to me last night, you know, it's unlikely we'll see many specific dates in the plan as released later on. So I think, you know, a lot of people are going to be frustrated and annoyed at the lack of detail that they'll get when Micheál Martin does speak later on this evening.
I'm getting some text messages here about the 5 kilometre limit, and people expected, I think, that would have changed in this review. That's not happening, though, is it?
My understanding, it's not. And we were hearing last night that there's some issue relating to the ban on rent evictions, that essentially the retention of that ban is tied in some way to that 5 kilometre limit. Now, my colleague Paul Hossford was working on this last night, and ultimately, the way it was put to him was the manner in which the legislation or the regulations were drafted at the time were sort of slightly clumsy, so therefore any move on that 5 kilometre limit would have an impact on that rent evictions ban, and obviously they don't want to do that given that essentially we're going to remain in level 5. So that's going to annoy an awful lot of people if that's the basis upon which that level 5 or that 5 kilometre limit is going to be, you know, staying in place when, you know, the weather's improving and people are clearly fed up with just seeing the same roads and parks that they've been seeing and sticking and walking around since Christmas. I think there would be a desire to move on that, but obviously, as we're hearing, there is legal advice to say that it's difficult to do so.
And construction, Danny, what's happening with that? Because we know that the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, was fairly clear when he was in here with us on the programme. He wanted construction to reopen again on the 5th of March. That's not happening.
No, it's not. And it's my information is that there'll be no move on construction or any new construction until after that review on the 5th of April. So that's a full month behind Dara O'Brien's stated timeline only to you, you know, what, 10 days or 2 weeks ago. So that's yet another kind of shift in position or rollback on a promise made by this government. So again, you know, their messaging is somewhat chaotic.
So the schools, really, that's the only thing that's going to change. But is there a new review date now of the 5th of April here for all of this?
Yeah, so ultimately what the government has done, you know, in recent months has always set kind of review points as at which various elements of the plan will be assessed and whether or not they can move on any lightening of restrictions. What was being made clear to me yesterday is that the focus on March is threefold. One, getting schools back in full on a phased basis. Two, to get childcare back. And obviously that's very important for many teachers and many other workers who have young children at home at the moment. But three, also to get to a position in hospitals where they can relieve the COVID pressures on the system to allow non-COVID procedures get back up and running, because obviously a huge number of those have been either backlogged or cancelled essentially for a long time. So that's the focus for March. Nothing else really until April. But that point in April, what we've been told, construction is sort of top of the list there. But also there is likely to be some decision in relation to social or outdoor activity. So you could see a decision on golf, tennis and those sports that you're not, you know, they're non-team sports. Mm-hmm. But whether compliance, you know, kind of stays in place until then remains to be seen, because, you know, even anecdotal evidence last weekend, you know, in places like the Phoenix Park in Dublin and many kind of outdoor areas in Cork and Galway, you know, there were throngs of people all over the place and clearly not all adhering to that 5 kilometre limit. So there is a concern within government that compliance is breaking down. And that's why I think it's important from a government's perspective that they reassert its control over the narrative, because they've certainly lost it since Christmas.
All right. And get the messaging right as well. Daniel, thanks very much for joining us on the programme. Getting lots of text messages on schools. They should have brought back schools, the classes 3rd, 4th and 5th, because they have less years left in primary school. It's very unfair. Another listener says, any chance of the Easter holidays being reduced by a week because kids are back to school and then straight to holidays? And this listener says that the UK are considering this. Well, Pat Fitzpatrick joins us now. And Pat, as we know, you've been homeschooling your two children in Cork, because we've been talking to you on and off about it over the last number of weeks. Where is your head at this morning after all that?
I watched you last night. I think you're the problem, Claire, because you keep asking these questions. So listen, you know, seriously, I'm beginning to think you're the problem. I couldn't believe it, actually, because I watched it on the player this morning just to check in it. And I was kind of going, God, so maybe first and second class, because I wasn't aware that the story had kind of evolved since. Look, going back to what Danny was saying there, people are finished, you know, like there's, I remember about a month ago, there was a kind of a sense of, yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Like, people are running on empty about this at the moment. And, you know, that it's almost, I remember saying to my wife last week, maybe parents should actually form a union here and only been half serious, because it doesn't seem like we're being negotiated with at all, that any negotiation about the future of our kids seems to be with other people and not with us. And look, I understand why the teachers' unions have concerns about the kids going back. But I think it's not being taken seriously as the situation a lot of parents find themselves in, and almost like, well, look, you know, you're working at home on a computer, so that's not really work. I know now I'm going to be crazy from being at home for 2 months that, look, you can work around that. But I was talking to the woman that helps me with my meager tax return. She was emailing me on Sunday night saying that's the only time she could find to work because there's homeschooling three kids and her husband is now on shift work. I was talking to a woman, she's a nurse actually, and her husband works in the food industry. On Saturday, I met her in the park. Their kids are the same age as ours. And she was saying that they've had a nightmare for the last 2 weeks with childcare because one of their shifts changed. I don't think there's an appreciation out there for how hard this is for people. You said it actually when we were on, that this isn't homeschooling, it's emergency schooling. Mm-hmm. And that every extra week they ask parents to do this, they should have to really, really be able to explain it to the people.
But like, as far as we know today, the schools are coming back for junior infants up to second class and leaving certs. You know, there was that blip last night where we thought maybe the plan might be in doubt, but it does seem as though it's happening, Pat.
Yeah, but I'm the smug one now because mine are in senior infants and second class. So,
yo, I'm smug, you know, as well. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, so like, if you know, I'm delighted now. But if I, you know, if my daughter was a year older,
yeah,
we'd be in this very awkward situation of one of them going to school and her being told not only can you not go to school, you can't meet your friends, even though your brother's gone off to meet his friends. So put yourself in those people's shoes. And,
well,
you know,
as well as that, there's the complication around school drop-offs for parents as well. So are you going to have to bring the older ones to drop off the younger ones if you're in that situation? And then you have the problem about community mobilisation. That's another issue.
Well,
there,
I'm almost afraid to say this now in case the government cops onto it, because like, that was always struck me as strange. They said, look, it would always be the younger kids coming back first, and we don't want to mobilise a million people, I think was it Leo Varadkar said. But it's the younger kids need to get dropped to school. The older kids make their own way in, or they jump out of the car and go in. You know,
yeah.
So it's actually by having the juniors to second class going in, that means all this kid. Now, I hope the government aren't listening and go, oh yeah, actually, we hadn't thought of that. And decide to send the third class to sixth class back instead because I'd be killed. But yeah, but again, it's another anomaly. You know, it's like, is this really the reason? There's a feeling since Christmas that they're afraid to give us any good news or positive news in case we'd all go out and start having barbecues or something.
Well, I mean, they are telling us a lot about the vaccination rollout, you know, and telling us to see the light there and hopefully that will come to pass. Pat, good to talk to you again, and good luck with this week, the remainder of this week with the homeschooling. Another uphill struggle, no doubt. I'm also joined by Dr. Catherine Motherway, ICU consultant and past president of the Intensive Care Society. Good morning, Dr. Motherway. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. Now, we know from what we're hearing that there won't be any significant easing of restrictions until after Easter. Is that the correct decision from where your perspective is?
I think so. I mean, currently we still have a significant burden of disease in the hospital system. There's something like 690 patients. The last time I looked, you quoted a lower number in your figures there. And we have about 156 people in intensive care, which is essentially half of our critical care capacity in this country. So we still have a lot of work to do with the patients that we have in-house, and we need to continue to drive down the figures so we don't see people get this disease while there is, in fact, a cure and a prevention available to us. And so while we're waiting for the vaccine, I think being careful is very appropriate, particularly with the transmission that we saw over the Christmas period, which I think shocked us all and has, you know, made a very difficult January for many families.
But I think lots of people are saying now, aren't they, that we've predictably reached this point where people have just had enough. And we saw over the weekend that, you know, lots of us decided to get out and about and visit beauty spots and so on. People are just at the end of the road here with level 5, would you say?
To be frankly honest with you, I'm not enjoying it myself. But I think what we need is a degree of patience. There is light now. I mean, this time last year, we didn't know it was coming. This time last year, we were witnessing scenes in Italy which were horrendous. So we now know that we have the vaccine. We know that we have better treatments. We know this is a preventable disease. And we know what we can do to prevent it, which includes the mask wearing, physical distancing, the hand washing, and the minimizing of contact, which is what the level 5 is about. And I think it is understandable, given that it's been the winter, it's been a January, which has been most unpleasant for many families. You know, I think we just need to bear with it. And you can see the result of the vaccination programs in other countries beginning now to allow societies to open up in a safe manner so we don't get back to where we were earlier this year, you know, with increased viral transmission. It is possible for us to get out the other end of this now as the vaccine programme rolls out, as we get our vaccination system going and as we get the vaccines into the country.
Mm-hmm. And then what we're seeing from other countries, the statistics are really good, aren't they, in the drop in transmission and hospital cases?
That's what we need to look at and say, look, we don't have them yet, we'll get them. I mean, we can only get them when we get them. And once we get them, we'll give them out as soon as we can in accordance with the prioritisation list that has been worked on regularly. And we need to use that to try and keep ourselves all sane, because I do appreciate this is very difficult. I'm not enjoying it myself, and neither is anybody else.
Yeah.
But I don't think that I want to witness a surge such as we've seen recently. And if we get viral transmission down, we will reduce the likelihood of more new variants happening. I mean, we have Brazilian ones, we have English ones, we could have Irish ones if we don't control transmission, because this is what happens with viruses. So we need to get the bear with it, I think, just for the moment. And I appreciate, and I truly appreciate, that for people who've lost their jobs, this has been a horrendous 12 months. For those of us who've continued to work, while it has been difficult, at least we have a livelihood. So, I mean, it's just been very difficult.
Yes, I'm reminded of what Eoin de Barra said last night on the television programme, the infectious diseases consultant, when he talked about the fourth wave. He said it's coming, it just depends on the size of it, really. You know, and we shouldn't lose sight of that either.
No.
You know, the weather's getting better, the vaccines are rolling out, but we're still not out of the woods, which is essentially your message too.
That is, we're not out of the woods. But there is a way out of the woods, and if we go there carefully, if we follow that path carefully, we will get out of it and hopefully minimise any fourth wave. I mean, obviously we have a significant amount of healthcare that we want to get done in non-COVID patients, and we need our healthcare system, which is now obviously with vaccinated staff and vaccines rolling out, much safer for people. We need to get back up and going, and we can't do that in the middle of a huge wave of COVID. And there's a lot of patients waiting to get into hospital, to have procedures that are, you know, have been deferred, many of them for prolonged periods of time. And we're very keen as a healthcare system to try and get that going, along with the very vital education of our young people.
Dr. Catherine Motherway, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you for joining us on the programme. And next up on the programme, we're going to hear from some of the businesses who are bearing the brunt of the ongoing restrictions.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.